We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm just going to read from verse 15. So it's on page 1108, Ephesians chapter 1. I'll be reading a little chunk from verse 15. So Paul says to these Ephesians, "Ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come." So as I said, today is Ascension Day, which is the day when the church celebrates Jesus' return into heaven. And we can read about it at the end of Luke's Gospel or the beginning of Acts. It says that Jesus has this final conversation with his disciples, and then he kind of rises up into the heavens until the disciples can't see him anymore. And from that point, Jesus is no longer kind of walking on the earth, but living in heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know if you've ever seen any of those medieval paintings of the Ascension that kind of show Jesus' toes sort of poking out of a cloud. Apparently, there's a sketch in The Life of Brian as well, which shows this. And I think because of this, I've always found it a little bit hard to take the Ascension very seriously. Don't tell Jeremy I said that. It just seems a little bit comic, the idea of Jesus sort of rising up off the earth into the heavens. But according to these verses, Paul takes the Ascension really very seriously. So why is that? Well, have a look with me again at verse 19. Paul talks about the mighty strength that God exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand, his right hand, in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority. So Paul is saying that God used the same power that he used to raise Jesus from the dead to raise Jesus from the earth to sit at his right hand in heaven. And if you look through scripture, God's right hand sort of pops up a bit. And whenever it's used to describe the place of highest honor anywhere in creation. So something really big was going on Ascension Day. So God didn't just raise Jesus into heaven so he could kind of sit on a cloud. He raised him so that he could sit on a throne. And the seat at God's right hand comes with power and authority to rule. So Paul says that when God raised Jesus to his right hand, he raised him, it says in verse 21, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. So the Ascension means that there is no one more powerful than Jesus Christ, and there will never be anyone more powerful than Jesus Christ. So no president, prime minister, dictator, Instagram star, or business leader will ever wield more power than Jesus Christ. Do you ever doubt God's power in your life? No, we worship, we know that we worship an all-powerful Saviour. We sang about that today, and I'm just been talking about it. But I don't know whether you're anything like me, that sometimes the truths that I sing about God kind of go in one ear and then straight out the other. I know what God tells me in his word about himself, that he's powerful and that he loves me, but it doesn't always seem to stick in me. And sometimes there are patterns of thought, habits, feelings of longing and loss that we have that burden us, that take away joy and confidence. And perhaps you know, we know vaguely where some of this stuff might have come from, some pain from the past perhaps, but we don't know how or if it will ever change. Well, this gap that we have, that we all have, between these truths about what God says that we believe in our heads and what actually sticks in our hearts and changes our hearts, that gap is exactly what Paul is talking about. That's why he prays in verse 17 for these Christians, that he says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And Paul is talking about head and heart knowledge of God. He's not just talking about knowing the facts of the gospel, about knowing that Jesus died on the cross to take away sin, to kind of break the power of sin, but he's talking about knowing that Jesus loved me so much he was willing to die in my place. Paul's not talking about new truths about Jesus, he's talking about old truths, but old truths becoming more and more real to us, becoming convictions that really stick in our hearts. Think for a moment about someone you love, who loves you. You know that they love you, but you also know that they love you. Do you know that God loves you? Do you know, as Paul claims in verse 22, that Jesus is for you, that he is using his power and authority for your benefit to help you grow and progress in your faith? I don't think I do know that. Not as much as I would like to. But the good news is that it's not up to me to try really hard to know it. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. And we know that because, as we just read in verse 17, Paul says he's praying that more and more the Spirit would be at work in these Ephesians, increasing their capacity to really get God and all that he is doing in their lives. And the other good news is that God is powerful enough to help our poor, stubborn, damaged hearts to get what he is about. Not only is the same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead, the same power that he used to raise him from the earth onto his throne, it's also the same power that the Spirit uses to wake us up to God. God's resurrection power is at work in you, in me. More powerful than past hurts and past sins, more powerful than anything or anyone else we might be tempted to look for help. Jesus Christ is in a position to do something about our hearts. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Nothing can stand in his way. And he is ready to exercise his power and his authority on your behalf. So what will you ask him to change in your heart today? Amen.